Hi, Lynn Kime. This is Annie Miller. I'm an extension educator with Penn State, and you are here for our Developing Successful Farmer podcast. As you all may know from previous episodes, Lynn is an extension associate with Penn State, senior extension associate. He has written on many, many topics for Penn State, everything from hemp to, I think I saw raspberries the other day, Lynn. That looked like something you had just come up with. So Lynn is a well-experienced educator here at Penn State, and he has seen it all. And we are here to talk about a necessary evil for any business, especially farming, which is record keeping. Lynn, people love record keeping, don't they?
Oh, they do. They very much prefer sitting in the office and going through records and writing things down than going out and actually working in the soil. That's not why they got into farming. They didn't want to work the soil. They wanted to keep records.
I know, but part of our job really is to instill that record keeping is essential to making your farm practice work well. It's essential for tax records and any sort of business loan you might get. What do you feel are the essential types of business records? So if we could narrow it down to five or six.
Well, the biggest ones are, you need your financial records. That's first, probably one of the more important ones. Production records, weather, and that's one everybody thinks, well, that's kind of foolish to do that. I'll explain why it's not. And inventory, your financial records, that type of thing, and of course your taxes. You have to keep your taxes for a minimum of 3 years, and anything that you any tax records where you have a capital purchase must be kept for the life of that capital purchase. So, keep at a bare minimum, keep your income tax for a minute at least 3 years.
And I have some going much further back than that. I think I'm a little nervous to get rid of any tax records.
Yeah, I'm the same way. My wife is doesn't quite agree with me sometimes, but I really don't like throwing away tax records.
Now, I guess the kids can do that when I'm gone. So, Lynn, so let's talk a little bit about production records. What would a good set of production records look like?
Well, I mean, production records is a it's a term that somebody says, well, I have production records. Okay, so you know the total amount of bushels of corn or soybeans or apples or boxes of peppers or whatever you grew last year. You know that, but do you know which field they came out of? Do you know what the pesticides that were used on those? And if you are buying pesticides or using pesticides, you need to keep worker protection records for your worker protection standards as at a bare minimum, which is, that covers a huge amount of record keeping right there. But my theory is you need those production records, especially the yields and things, by the lowest common denominator. So if, not your entire farm, but field or block or something like to that effect. Because it allows you to judge how that field is producing, whether you need to, what your soil amendments are actually doing for you. Maybe you know what your soil test recommends, but from past experience, you need to maybe not quite put quite as much on, or put maybe a little extra on to get the yields that you want. So those production records, in my opinion, need to be very detailed.
So it sounds like one of the more important records a farmer should really keep
It
are their production
is,
records.
and if you're going to buy crop insurance, you're going to need those production records for that.
All right, so one of the things that I work with, Lynn, are financial records. So, keeping tracks of your costs, your inputs, any inflows and outflows from your business. How do you see a farmer keeping financial records?
Well, most farmers, depending on their counting system or their record keeping system. Going back to my days, you had a check register where you wrote down the amount the check was, what the check was for, and then you transferred that into a cash flow statement and went from there. You need to keep some, if you're using QuickBooks, there's basically a check register there. So you need to keep those because you do need to know when that money went out and when funds come in. Because when you start filing income taxes, that has an impact on, the good thing is agriculture files income tax on a cash basis and not on an accrual basis. But you need that, you need that accrual adjustment to actually tell you what your year end actually looked like, whether you made money or you didn't make money. You need your balance sheets. And a lot of times for any type of financial analysis, you need a minimum of two balance sheets. Income statements, which are different than a balance sheet. You need to keep those because, again, if you're doing analysis, sometimes you need information from the balance sheet and the income statement for maybe one financial ratio. So you need those. And your Schedule F. Something else that I really think you should keep is a running tally of your depreciation schedule, and not the economic depreciation schedule, not your IRS Schedule F depreciation schedule. If you keep an economic depreciation schedule, you have a much better idea as to what that piece of equipment is actually worth or what value it actually has.
So you said equipment here, and that made me think that's another type of record you're going to need to keep, right? A list of all your equipment and when you bought it and serial numbers. Is that beneficial?
That's beneficial. And also the service that was performed on that piece of equipment. How often do you change the oil? When was the oil changed last? If that piece of equipment is still under warranty, a tractor especially, if it's still under warranty and you haven't changed the oil in 800 hours, they're going to be able to tell that. And so, if it's something that failed, it may make it look like you didn't perform maintenance on it. But if you have the records, you can produce those records and back yourself up that way.
What about the weather?
Weather records, as I said, people think, well, why do I need to keep those? If you're purchasing crop insurance, and you file a claim, one of the first questions they're going to ask you is when did the event occur that caused the reduction in crop yield? So if you know that you had a hailstorm on July 15th, you should have called your crop insurance salesperson July 16th, but if you didn't, and you didn't think you had a claim, you get into harvest season and you now realize that you do have a claim, then you call your crop insurance salesperson, the adjuster comes out. And like I said, his first question is, when was the hailstorm? And if you have your weather records, you can go back and say it was July 15th. We had 3 minutes of hail. I didn't think it was that bad, but that was at my house and maybe out here in this field in the earth. Field in the back 40, it was a lot worse. So, but the hail event was July 15th. So, also, if you again with crop insurance, if you file for a preventive planting, you may have a drought during the summer, but the spring could have been so wet that you couldn't get in the field. So, it's documentation for anything that you say actually happened. If you have those records, it's really hard for somebody to say, well, I don't believe you. And, this way, if you have the records, you have the proof.
Lynn, this seems like a lot of record keeping. How often should someone really be devoting time to doing this?
I think you should devote as much time as is absolutely necessary. Some people can get away, you know, if you have QuickBooks, you have something on your phone that you can enter something into and it automatically goes into your QuickBooks or into a spreadsheet or something like that. It may not take as much time. If you're doing paper records, it may take you an hour, 2 hours a week. And don't skip on the record keeping. As I joked at the beginning, you know, nobody really likes to do this. It is a necessary evil, but without them, you have no documentation, you have no backup. So you need to spend the amount of time that you actually need. Again, when you have those records, you may not be able to predict the future, but you can see what happened in the past under all the circumstances. So it does give you a little bit of an idea, if you start to see those same circumstances appear, what the outcome may be.
It's almost like a skill and a habit you can build up over time too. I think, you know, the first couple times you do it, it's painful, but you learn. And I used to work as a bookkeeper, and the nights that I would do the accounting for my husband's company, that would be the night we'd get pizza. You know, I would try to treat myself. Even nowadays, like if I have to do something record keeping, I might make coffee or have a cookie. So there are ways that you can make it a little more palatable. What resources do you think like that are available? So does Penn State have any good publications? You really are knowledgeable about what we have here at Penn State.
We do have a blue farm record keeping book. It's huge. It's a big book, but it's all paper. You can enter, you know, your transactions. It builds into a cash flow, which works into the balance sheet and the income statement, all that kind of thing. It actually enters, you know, take it the whole way through. Goes into produces basically a Schedule F form for your taxes. That right now is in the process of being put up on the website that will be an electronic version. So look for that in the next few months, because, you know, electronic is in my opinion, easier than the paper records anymore. There's also, we used to have a gray record keeping book. It's a little bit smaller, doesn't go into as much detail. I am not 100% sure whether they're still available or not, but they may be. You may be able to find some of those in your county extension offices. They may still have some. You know, you have QuickBooks is always a possibility. And, you know, Excel, if you liked working on spreadsheets and workbooks, Excel is a good basic record keeping tool. I use Excel a lot. I'm not familiar with QuickBooks as much, but I use Excel for a lot of the records that I keep for myself and my family.
And it's good for, you know, sort of production records as well. There's lots of templates out available. But the real issue is just getting started. And if you start in a notebook on a piece of paper, that's better than not starting at all. It is critical to any business. And it's very critical to farming. So Lynn, what if I just hate bookkeeping and financial record keeping and I don't want to count my crops? Can I get help?
I mean, you can pay somebody to do something that you don't want to do. Hire a bookkeeper that you walk in and say, here's the delivery receipts for this block over here, this field over here. Hand them off and walk away. You know, that's as I said, you know, the route that a lot of people probably should use. Hire that bookkeeper, and or maybe, you know, it's your wife or your spouse. You know, and for heaven's sakes, pay them, because if you're not going to do it, you need to pay somebody to do it. So, you know, pay that person. That's one option. Like I say, there's so much, you know, your accountant may be, you know, they may do your payroll for you. So all those payroll records that you have to keep and file at specific times, If your accountant's doing your payroll, they know when it needs to be filed. So, you know, that's another option. You know, your accountant is probably more, it's going to cost you more money than a bookkeeper or record keeper. But, you know, if you hire an accountant and that's the way you want to go, that's the way to go.
Yeah, I think it can be a good investment for your business. So you can focus on the things that you're good at. Maybe you're really just good at growing stuff or raising cattle, and you invest in someone that allows you to do your work that you're good at. You should always be aware of what they're doing, but you know, you never should be completely hands out of your record keeping. But I think there is some utility to getting help when you need it.
I've yet to see the first person that knows everything about everything.
Be you, Lynn. You're pretty good.
No, I am far from it. My wife will vouch for me on that one. In all reality, you know, nobody likes doing everything. So, you know, what my advice always is what you don't want to do or can't do, then you have to hire somebody else to do that for you, or train somebody else to do that for you. But as Annie said, you also, you know, the buck stops with you. So you do need to know, you know, what's going on. You know, you still need to review those books and those records just to be sure that you can get the information that you need from what's being produced.
All right. So we encourage everyone, if you would like more information about record keeping, please reach out to Extension. Our website is excellent. We have plenty of resources, or you can call your county extension office and they will put you in touch with someone who knows a little bit more about record keeping and can point you in the right way. Lynn, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.